the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, I want to talk to you about the power of setting 90-day goals. So when we talk about setting 90-day goals, the reason why we want to do that is that we want to start reducing the amount of time that it takes us to actually get stuff done. So usually we're either monthly beings, and in that, I mean, literally, we get paid monthly, either from your salary or as a property investor, for example, I get paid monthly from my rents and so on. Or we're annual in that we get to the end of 2015 and then we set new goals for 2016 and then that's it. We tend not to set them ever again. And you might set them monthly at the end of each month and have a bit of a plan for what's going on next month. Or you might finish the year and have a bit of a plan for what's going on next year. But we want to just drill down more. So we're getting a more regular version of setting goals on a more regular basis. And we do that every 90 days. And what you'll find is that you'll begin to accelerate the stuff that you need to get done. Because by setting yourself a shorter goal time frame, you're going to have to pull stuff forward and you're going to be a lot more focused on actually completing those goals. Whereas if you've got a full 12 months to complete those goals, you can start them in month 9, can't you? So this is why we do this, because if you set up a 90-day goal, you're going to have to start in month 1. Month 2, you're in the middle. And if by month 3, you've not started, well, you're in trouble. So you need to get a move on. So the way in which we want to start this, and this podcast is a little bit more about you actually doing some of the work here, not just listening and me doing the work, but you actually doing some of this work as well. Because this is where we actually get results. We don't get results from just listening to podcasts, watching a webinar, watching a video about how to make £1 million. We don't get results like that. We get results by actually implementing what we learn. So the first thing, and also it depends when you're listening to this podcast. I'm recording this at the end of April 2016, but you might be listening to this in, I don't know, 2021, October, November. So it could be completely different. So what we want to do is we want to just have a look at what your year in review has been like so far. So for me, we're at the end of April, we're 4 months in, going into month 5. What we want to really do is look at what's happened in the last 90 days. So rather than the whole year, what's happened in the last 90 days? Now, what's interesting is that when you look at what's happened in the last year, you'll see, or you will be able to see, some pretty big changes. Hopefully, that's if you're actually doing any work, of course, to make the change happen. But if you actually drill that down into the last 90 days, the chances are that not that much has happened in the last 90 days. And so that's the whole point of this. We want to begin to accelerate the results that we're able to get, both for the last 90 days and for the next 90 days. So just have a quick think. What have you done that's been really successful for you in the last 90 days? What changes have you made to your finances? Now, sometimes it's not the result that's the important bit, but it's the actual change. So, for example, let's say that you've recognized you need to lose some weight and you started on a diet, you've started exercising, and you've done that within the last 3 months, but as yet you haven't seen any results. Well, that's fine. That's okay, because you're on the journey, you're on the right path. Those results will come as long as you're true to yourself, you're not cheating with treats and that sort of thing, and you more or less stick to your diet. So that's the key, is what have you done in the last 90 days? What behavioural patterns have you changed? So we like to break it down into three areas. So the first one's health. What have you done in terms of your health in the last 90 days? Many people listening to this, it's nothing. Your relationship, or if you're not in a relationship and you want to be in a relationship, what have you done in order to get into a relationship? Or you're in a relationship, you want to get out of that relationship, what have you done to get out of that relationship? Or you're not in a relationship, you don't want a relationship, and you're very happy with yourself. So what have you done to improve your relationship with yourself? Because that's ultimately the most important relationship you'll ever have, right? So it's those two. And then finally, obviously, what have you done to change your money situation? That could be you've set up a budget to work through all your expenditure. You've applied for 28 jobs. You've had 4 interviews. You've had no job offer. That's fine. You're actually on a journey. So it's a good start. Or it could be that you've implemented a new marketing campaign and that's what's going to start bringing in some cash. So we like to review, not just the year in review, but the last 90 days. So now, over the last 90 days, the last 3 months, what's worked for you? So what changes have you made? That was the first bit. The next bit is, what's actually worked for you in the last 90 days? Because this is really important to identify. Because often what happens is and I know someone, for example, and he lost 2 stone in about 3 or 4 months. And so that was really working for him. And then he put all the weight back on. And it's like, well, just find out what worked and just keep doing that. Because that will just keep working to some extent, right? That will just keep working. Eventually it might fail, eventually. But why not just stick with that? And he didn't. He actually stopped doing what he should have been doing. And for whatever reason, and started doing something else. And so this is the key. Once you know what's working, then do more of that. And when you've identified what's not working, then stop doing that. And so then we get on to what's failed. What didn't work so well for you? Well, I tried a diet, I was really good on it, but I didn't lose any weight. Okay, so let's change it up. It's one of the rules of mastery. We look at what the result is, and if it's not the result that we want, then we change the stuff that we do that got us that result. So if you're in a relationship and you end up shouting at your partner every so often, I would imagine that's not the best result that you want, so you need to find a way of changing that behaviour pattern. So it's not the shouting that needs to change, okay? Just to clarify this, not the shouting that needs to change, it's the behaviour pattern. And then we want to find out, what were the new learnings? What did you learn over the last 90 days? Because there will be some items that you've learned, well, I'm not going to do that again, well, I spent some money on new stationery and I've not had a return on investment on that. That's great. Write that learning down. Embed it in your psychology so that you don't go and make that mistake again. Because how many times do we make the same mistake again and again and again and again until we actually learn that lesson? This is where your notebooks come in really useful. I've got lots of notebooks from previous years that I keep hold of, because they're all my learnings. And it stops me making the same mistake twice. I mean, I'm human like everybody else, so obviously I make the same mistake twice because I'm human, right? No one's perfect. But knowing and understanding and sealing those new learnings in on an unconscious level and making sure that you can go back to those learnings to make sure that you're not making the same mistake again is really important. Okay, so then we're into what I like to call a reset. So you've reviewed the last 90 days. What's going to happen in the next 90 days? So this is where you want to get a sheet of A4 paper. And if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're, you know, sat in an office or on a tube and you've got a notepad, get yourself a sheet of paper and write down at the top of that paper, piece of paper, health. And write down what you want your goals to be for health. So in the next 30 days, what would you like your health to be? Now, it could be, for example, you don't want to go in and go, I want to lose 12 pounds in 30 days, because it's unrealistic. It could be that you've joined a gym and you're going to the gym 3 days a week. Okay, so if you think about that, the goal isn't necessarily about weight loss, about a specific target on weight loss. That comes a little bit later. The key is to get you to enjoy the journey. Because the result, what happens if you say, okay, I'm going to lose 4 pounds in the next 30 days and you only lose 3 pounds? Now, some people go, well, I failed. I'll just give up. And that's not what we want. What we want is for you to continue. What we want is for you to enjoy the process of going to the gym 3 times a week and seeing weight loss on a regular basis. And sometimes you're going to hit a plateau and sometimes you're going to go in reverse as well, because your weight will go up or your waist size will increase. I'm not a great believer in weight measuring, by the way. Waist size, bicep size, anything like that is fine. But weight is just crazy, because muscle weighs more than fat anyway, right? So if you're hitting the weights heavily, there's a chance that you'll lose weight and then put weight back on, because you've become a stronger, more powerful person, right? So the idea here is that you've fallen in love with the process, not the result. The result's irrelevant to some extent. The point is that you're on the right path, because then the result will come anyway. So we want to set up, for example, health. What is that? And that could be going to the gym 3 times a week, running 2x a week, playing basketball 3 times a week, whatever that needs to be for you, okay? Joining a local team club, a local triathlon team, a local swimming leisure centre, whatever that needs to be. But it's about falling in love with the process. Now, once you've got that down, then you can put down some extra results in there. So, for example, if you want to put, let's take swimming. Within 30 days, you want to get up to being able to swim 20 lengths on a full-size pool. That's pretty hard to do, right? If you're a non-swimmer or if you don't go swimming very often, you know, if you can get to that stage, that's pretty powerful. Now, your ultimate goal may be weight loss, but I guarantee that if you're swimming three times a week and you're doing 20 lengths every time you do it, the weight eventually will go anyway. It's got nowhere else to go, if you like. So what about finance? And I've broken down finance into money and income. And they are different. You know, you could have wealth in there as well. The difference between wealth and rich. So wealth is having assets that generate cash. Being rich is the cash that's generated. In my book, right? Other people may disagree with that and that's fine. But that's how I understand it. So my wealth is already in place in that I have assets that generate money on a monthly, regular basis. That's what we want for you guys, right? So I was just reading about British Home Stores, which has just gone under. And all these people, I think 11,000 people, there's a shortfall in their pension. They now have worked, I don't know, 25 years for British Home Stores, thinking they've got a pension, and it's disappeared. What a surprise. That's not the first time, is it, that happens? And it happens all the time. It happens loads of the time, right? You've got to start looking after yourself and prioritising your investment for your future. As soon as you put that money into someone else's hands, it has the risk, the potential of disappearing. So this is why we get people investing in assets, whatever those assets happen to be. So what about your finance? What about if you, so by the end of this month, over the next 30 days, how do you want your finance to look? So that could be, okay, it's painful, but I'm going to have a spreadsheet with all my numbers on so I know how much money I'm spending. I'm also going to start applying for 10 new jobs a week or 5 new jobs a week. And again, we're back to falling in love with the process. When you start applying for those jobs, eventually you'll get a job, okay? You may be really unlucky and it might take you 100 applications, but eventually you'll get the job. As long as you keep learning, you keep improving your CV and your letters and your interview technique and so on. That's exactly what I did when I went for the job that paid a lot of money, six figures. I went on lots of job interviews because I knew that when the right job came along, I knew what to say, how to act, what jokes to say in the interview, how to respond and so on. This was, by the way, the same in my relationships. So when I became single after my separation, I went onto Match.com and I just dated everybody and everybody. And I went out on date after date after date because I knew that eventually I would meet the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And I needed to get experience on dates to know what I could say, how I could dress, what I could get away with in terms of jokes, what was inappropriate to say, and so on, right? So that's what I did. I went out on lots of dates and lo and behold, I then met a woman who's now my wife. And if I'd not done that initial stuff, then the chances of me actually having a successful date were limited. The probability was much, much lower. But because I'd gone out and practiced on dates, I was really good at being a great date. Right? So as bizarre as all that sounds, I got the end result. I fell in love with the process. And let's face it, going out on dates is fun anyway, right? Or sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a nightmare and I've had those too. But all good experience. And so this is what you should be doing with, for example, job interviews. Or walking into estate agents and trying to negotiate a below market value deal. Yeah, you might fail on your first 12, but you only need the next one to be a winner to make you £20,000-£30,000 of profit from flipping that property or to package it up and sell it onto someone else. So what do you want your finances to look like next month, the month after that, and the month after that? So what you want, again, this is a new heading on a new sheet of paper. This one's called finance or money or income or whatever you want to put down. It could be a sheet of paper for each one. And so you've got your headline, and then you've got this month, you've got the next month after that, and then you've got the next month after that, and that's your three months or your 90-day goals. So then the next one is, what's your relationships going to look like? And then we might want to break down relationships. So we might want to put, so if you're in a relationship and you know, I don't know, most people are in a relationship, I guess. And if you're not, that's fine. But if you're married, you've been in a relationship for 10 years, it's fairly easy for a relationship. Life gets in the way. Relationships turn pretty stale from time to time. So we've got to find a way to get that relationship going again, right? So if that is you, then one of the things I do with my wife, and I've been with my wife, we've been married for 2 years. Got to get this right, otherwise I'm in trouble, aren't I? So we've been married for 2 years or so, and we've been dating for maybe, in total, 6 or 7 years. And, you know, life gets in the way from time to time. And we've done this right from the get-go. We've always had a date night. Wednesday night used to be our date night. We'd always go out on a Wednesday night for date night. Really powerful stuff. We'd just go bowling or to the cinema or out for a meal or whatever. We'd just go do different stuff, right? And it's really, really important for our relationship. And it gets us away from just being married, if that makes sense. So you've always, I mean, marriage is awesome, by the way, don't get me wrong. But you've always got to find a way to do something different in your relationship, because what happens is relationships go stale, as we all know. Like, if you think about this, we're all really bad at relationships. All of us, everybody who's ever lived is terrible at relationships. How many relationships have you had, and how many of those have been really successful? Like, if you're in a relationship, then potentially one. Or it could be you're in a relationship and it's not a very successful relationship. But all the previous relationships failed, right? So if you look at the stats on relationship success, it's terrible. If you've had, I don't know, 10 relationships in your lifetime, well, and you're in a relationship now, well, you're 1 out of 10, possibly, if the current one's any good. So we've got to find a way to make sure that these relationships work, okay? And this is why we set them in these 90-day goals. Now, you may be wondering, what's this got to do with money and wealth creation and so on? It's because everything's interconnected. So if your health is suffering because of, let's say, weight loss, or because you just love hamburgers and you get ill all the time, which can happen, right? So let's say that that's happening. Well, do you think that's going to affect your finance, your money, your income? Do you think that might affect your relationships? Of course it will. Do you think if you're in a bad relationship right now, or you're going through relationship difficulties, that that might affect your health? It goes without saying. Do you think if you're struggling for money, that might affect your health or your relationship? Of course it does. So everything's totally interconnected. Just, and this is a mistake, by the way, that people make, is that they just solely focus on finance. Well, if I just get this sorted, then I'll do my health. And if I just make more money, then I can sort out my relationship. And that's just not how it works. Actually getting healthy doesn't cost you anything. It can really not cost you anything. You can go swimming, right? Assume you've got swimming trunks, and if you can't afford them, get some secondhand ones. Maybe it costs you money to go swimming, okay? So maybe you go running, buy some secondhand shoes if you've really got no money, right? You can go running. That don't cost you anything. And you might go, well, I've not got the right clothes. It's not a fashion parade. You're running to get healthy. That's it. Phone a friend and get them to come out with you and get some support. And on your relationships, you need to think about the other person, right? Because that's what a relationship is. How many romantic surprises, fellas, how many romantic surprises or gifts have you given your partner? And how much, I mean, I have to say this from a guy's point of view, right? Because I'm a guy, okay? So I'm guessing, ladies, what is it that you need out of a relationship? The shelves putting up? I don't know. What is that? The guy to tidy up after himself? That sort of thing, right? I have no idea. So for the guys, it's like, how much listening are you doing to your partner? How much listening with, listening to your partner, are you actually listening to? But this is really important, and you need to understand what's important to your partner in terms of what are you giving them that they need out of a relationship? Or even, an even better way of saying it is, what is it that they need out of a relationship that you're giving them? Because if they need, so we call this values, by the way. So we have a values elicitation where we elicit the values from our partner. And this is how we say it. We say, what's important to you in a context of our relationship? And so let me give you an example of, let's say she loves ice cream. And I always use this as an example, okay? And it's just an example. So let's say she says, Dan, I love ice cream. I'm in a new relationship. I've asked her what's important to her. And she goes, I just love being surprised by ice cream, right? A bit weird, but let's just say that's right. I think, brilliant. Later on that night, I go home and I bring home banana flavour ice cream, and she gets really upset. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong? I've given you ice cream. You said you really love being surprised by ice cream, and I've given you ice cream, and you're really upset with me. And then she turns around and she says, you know I hate banana ice cream. I love chocolate ice cream. And so it's really important, because she said she loves ice cream, but I didn't drill down into getting the exact thing right that she needed out of our relationship to make sure that I was satisfying her with the right thing that she needed, which was chocolate flavoured ice cream, not banana. And this is what most people do. Most people assume they know what the other person needs and often get it wrong because they've never actually asked. They've never drilled down into what is it you actually need. And they might say, let's say, trust. What does trust mean? Trust to me might mean completely different to trust to you. What does trust even mean? So let's take the extreme examples, okay? Well, I need trust in a relationship. Okay, what does that mean? I don't want you speaking to any other members of the opposite sex ever. And it's like, okay, that's a bit extreme, right? But maybe for that person, that's what absolutely they need. Let's say it's in a social gathering or whatever, right? They don't want you texting any other women or men or whatever, right? It's really extreme, but it serves as a good example. So at least then you would understand what that person actually needs. And then you can make a decision as to whether you want to be in a relationship like that or not, right? But this is why we do this. It's really important. So for the 90-day goals, we want three separate pages. At the top of page one, you want your health. And then you break it down into three sections. So it's this month or the next 30 days. And then the 30 days after that. And then the 30 days after that. And then a new sheet, you've got finance, money, income, whatever that needs to be. And it's the same again. And then your relationships, it's the same again. And you want to be able to start recording what you're doing for each of these three areas so that when you then look back and start asking yourself the questions, what worked in the last 90 days, you can tick the things that work and cross out the things that didn't work and replace them with something else for the following 90 days. And so this is, you know, the Japanese phrase of Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. You will then find that you're continually improving. So, like, I just started running again, and my knees are absolutely so painful. I've got cartilage problems, and they're very, very painful. So I play basketball, I started running. Now, when I do my 90-day goals, I'm going to have to cross out the running, because it's the running that's caused the pain, not the basketball. And I was trying to do running because I thought that would help my health improve. So I'm going to have to swap that out for swimming, or something else, right? Basically, maybe going to the gym, lifting weights, whatever. Because running is just not going to happen for my knees. It's going to actually cause bigger problems further down the line. So I've got to change that. So I'll just cross that out, put something else down. And it's fine to do that. So that's why we do it in this way. So now, with that in mind, knowing that you've got these three areas that you want to work in, and you've got the next 30 days, the following 30 days after that, and the following 30 days after that, the first question is, what planning can you do to improve on those three areas? So, for example, in your health, what planning do you need to do? Well, I need some trainers. Okay, so go buy some trainers. That's the planning. When are you going to buy them, order them on Amazon or the local sports shop, and go get them? When are you going to do that? That's the planning. So the reason why we do planning is, if we ask it a different question, what's stopping you from going running? That's a better question than planning, depending, right? So what's stopping you from running? Well, I was going to go running, and then I went upstairs and I realized that I don't have any trainers. So I didn't bother. Okay, so that's a bad result. Whereas if you planned it, then you get the right result. Well, I was going to spend £500 on Facebook advertising every month, and then I realized I didn't have £500 to spend. Okay, so it's better to find that out first, and that's why we have the planning. And then through planning, you can allocate resources better. So you can stop buying £500 worth of coffee, if that's what you're spending on, and make some sacrifices in order to move that money into Facebook ads. We do all this through planning. So the question is, what planning can you do for each of those three areas? So for example, one of the things that me and the wife do, we've not done it as much now we live in Spain, because virtually every night's date night here, because we play board games on the terrace. It's really warm. I mean, it's wonderful. Go for a swim in the midnight moon. I mean, it's just amazing, right? We love it. But the planning could be for a relationship, could be, well, let's go book Les Mis at the theatre, or Dirty Dancing, or Ghost, all of which I highly recommend, although I don't really like musicals and things. But they're all really cool. We've seen Dirty Dancing three times now. We love it. But we would book that in for maybe 3 to 6 months in advance. So it gives us something to look forward to. And that's one of our date nights then booked in 3 to 6 months in advance. How awesome is that? I just noticed I got an email for Adele in concert in Italy. And I'm like, okay, how can we manage that one? How can we plan that with a sort of a 17-month baby in tow? How do we do that? And who would need to come with us in order to babysit? Because we don't trust other people to look after our child, sort of thing. So that's the planning that we do. So then once you've identified the planning, and by the way, this is not a 5-minute process. If you want the next 90 days to be awesome, you need to listen to this podcast again. So what work have you identified that needs doing? So what work have you identified? So for example, if this is finances, and at the end of 90 days, you want 10 new customers, okay, but you haven't got a sales funnel in place to generate 10 new leads, 10 new customers, then the work that you need to identify is the sales funnel. If you don't know how to do that, then you need to sign up for some coaching and we'll help you work out your sales funnel. That's what we do. It's one of the things that we do with business owners. So you need to identify the work that will help you get from A to B, from month one right through to month three. Now, this is a really important question. What wins are you going to commit to for the 90 days? So what absolute wins are you going to commit to for the next 90 days? So it could be, let's say you're going to go swimming 3 times a week. Or let's say, let's just make it easy, a bit easier, once a week, right? Because that's a start. That's a good start. If you're not doing any swimming for the last 10 years and you start going once a week, that's an awesome start. Okay? So if you're doing that in 3 months, then you're committing to going 12 weeks. So you're going committed, absolutely committed to going swimming 12 times within the next 90 days. Now, it could be for whatever, next week you can't go swimming, so you have to go twice the following week. But that's fine. You're going to go 12 times. What about date night? So let's say you can't do date night every week, but you could do it once every 2 weeks. Listen, if you've not done date night for the last 10 years, going once a month is better than not going at all. So do that to begin with. So go once a month. So then you're committing to 3 times each month. You're committing to 3 times over the duration of the 90 days. So that's really important. So what other wins are you going to commit to? It could be, I'm going to commit to finding 10 new clients. That's perfect, okay? So we might break that down to 3 clients per month. That's almost 1 a week, okay? So what can you do to bring on a client this week? What win do you need to commit to? And if that's a win you need to commit to, then you need to commit to that. And by committing to that win, that means you need to do whatever it takes in order to get that client on. So if you have to go walking up to people in the supermarket to bring them on as a client, then God damn it, that's what you need to go do. In my old sales days, I spoke to anybody and everybody, because everyone's a potential customer, right? So the next question you need to ask yourself is, what do you need to implement or create in the next 90 days? So let's say, going back to a sales funnel, so let's say that you need to implement the sales funnel, okay? But before you can implement the sales funnel, let's say that you need to create a lead magnet. A lead magnet is something that you give away in return for an email address. We do this with a podcast. Our podcast is a lead magnet. And we've got other lead magnets too, but we use a podcast mainly. It's a great lead magnet, in fact. And it's constantly adding value to people. And then the people that then want to move forward and actually drill down and get more help with their business, with their property and so on, of a mindset, then they can sign up for coaching. It works really well. It's part of my sales funnel. But if you haven't got that in place, then you need to create something that can help you do that. If you need to create a buddy system for helping you lose weight and getting out running or swimming or whatever that needs to be, then maybe you need to create a Facebook page, a local Facebook page. So when I'm in England, I live in Leeds, so you may create a page in Leeds, Leeds Runners Club. And it's a free of charge club and you all agree to meet, I don't know, Hyde Park or Roundy Park or Horsforth Park or wherever your local park is, on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Obviously, don't let Bristol Council find out because they'll want to charge you like they're doing with the local park run stuff. But a little bit of sarcasm there. But this is what you might need to implement or create in the next 90 days. But being able to identify that now, then you can go off and create that. And then by the end of 90 days, you've got that created. And when you then move into the next quarter, the following 90 days, that thing is already created. And so that next 90 days will be better than the previous 90 days. And so on and so on and so on. Every quarter is an improvement on the past. This is why we do it. So you're always scaling up. And then what resources do you need? So what are the resources that you need to find? So, for example, the resources that you may need, you might not have a clue about sales funnels, okay? Or you might have a clue about it and actually you know how to do it, but for whatever reason, you're simply not doing it. And it's because actually you need coaching. That could be one of the resources. It could be you just need to outsource it to someone else. So we've got a chap that does all our Facebook ads, and we outsource to him, and he's awesome. Because I don't really want to do Facebook ads. I don't want to sit there and do Facebook ads. It's really not fun for me. I don't mind doing video editing and podcast editing. I love that. I really enjoy that. It's part of my enjoyment in the week, right? So I don't want to outsource that because I enjoy it. I really don't enjoy Facebook ads. And I'm not really keen on Twitter ads, although they're a lot easier. And I'm not really keen on that, so we just outsource it. We get rid of it. So what resources do you need? And if you need someone to come and kick your butt, then maybe we need to have a chat about that. Because that's the thing that we do. We don't just kick butt, but we get results. We're a very valuable resource for people. And in fact, we offer a 90-day coaching package. It's one of the things that we do, which is very, what's the right word? Very good value for money, and it's definitely affordable. Pretty much anyone can afford it. So if you want to have a chat about that, then let me know. Now, what skills do you need? Because maybe you haven't got the skills. Maybe you don't want to outsource it, but you just haven't got the skills. So that's fine. What skills do you need to learn? And you can go and learn these skills. You can learn them off YouTube. Some 10-year-old kid will tell you how to use green screen and Sony Vegas, which was a problem I had, and I didn't know how to solve it. And I went on YouTube, and yet, lo and behold, some 11, 12-year-old kid showed me how to do it. It's funny. But that's a skill that I needed to learn. Or what training course do you need to go on? Identifying the skills that you need is invaluable. Because if you're constantly trying to create, let's say, a podcast, one of the products that we've got coming out is a podcast training program. And so you might want to, and podcasts are awesome for generating leads. So you might want to have to go and buy that and learn how to generate your own leads using podcasts. Very, very powerful. So identifying the skills. Maybe you don't know enough about health and weight loss. So maybe you need to read up and buy some books. Join a program, whatever that needs to be. Maybe you're terrible at relationships, and as we've said, most of us are anyway, right? Because, you know, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20 is successful, whatever those figures are. Maybe you need to go and learn how to do a values elicitation, and even why you need to do that. The other thing that I want you to think about is, what is the single absolute result? So out of health, out of finances, out of relationships, what's the single absolute result that you're going to commit to for the next 90 days? No ifs, no buts. So it could be, right, 90 days, 3 months, 12 weeks, I'm going to lose a pound a week, 12 weeks, I'm committed to it. Now, if that's what you're going to do, you need to go put that on Facebook. Yup. You need to get accountability. Like, I have my own coaches, and so if you've got a coach, by the way, you can be accountable to your coach, so you don't have to put it on Facebook. But And some things you don't want to put on Facebook either, right? If you, you know, 12 new leads, for example, in the next 12 months, you might not want to put that on Facebook, whatever that happens to be. Or improving your relationship that's failing, you definitely probably don't want to put that on Facebook, because if your partner does read that, then you probably failed right there. So you don't want to do that. But what's the single biggest absolute result? 90 days is really quick. Think about the last 3 months. How quick has that gone? And you might go, but Dan, I want to commit to this and this and this and this and this and this and this. No, no. Strip all that back. Get that one thing that's going to make the biggest difference in your life. Whatever that happens to be, and commit to that. Okay, so that's the end of the 90-day goal setting session. Now, we've covered an awful lot in there. I've ran through the questions fairly quick, but my advice would be to listen back to this. You know, there's only so much we can do on a podcast. So listen back to the 90-day podcast that you've just listened to. And then press stop. Go through it as an exercise and press stop at the appropriate point and actually do it. It'll take an hour, maybe 2 hours maximum. But your next 90 days are going to absolutely be awesome because you're going to make them awesome. Far better than the last 90 days and the previous 90 days and even potentially better than the last 12 months. You can accelerate the next 12 months into the next 3 months. Imagine getting the results that you were hoping for in 12 months in 3 months. How would that make you feel? Now, it's all within your grasp. It's all within your grasp. You just have to implement it. Okay, a little bit of a different podcast today. I pretty much enjoyed doing that, and I hope you get a lot out of it. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to sign up for a strategy session, then just let me know, and just drop me an email, and we'll send you the link that you can fill in. And other than that, I wish you all the best, and we'll speak to you in the next podcast. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.